Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
This morning we're reading from the fifth canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, chapter 6, text 7. Is that correct? Text 7?
Text 7.
So I'll just read it. It's in kind of prose. Tasyahava eva muktalingasya bhagavata rishabhasya yogamaya vasanaya deha imam jagatim abhimanabhasena sankramamana Kunkavinka Kutukan Dakshina Kanata Kandeshan Yadrichayo Pagata Kuta Kachalo Pavana Asya Kritasma Kavala Unmara Eva Mukta Murdajo Samvita Eva Virachara.
Translation. Actually, Lord Rishabhdev had no material body. But due to Yogamaya, he considered his body material. And therefore, because he played like an ordinary human being, he gave up the mentality of identifying with it. Following this principle, he began to wander all over the world. While traveling, he came to the province of Kanata in South India and passed through Konka, Venka, and Kutaka. He had no plan to travel this way, but he arrived near Kuta Kachala and entered a forest there. He placed stones within his mouth and began to wander through the forest naked and with his hair disheveled like a madman. There's no purport. I think I'll read the next verse also. Ata samida vega viduta venu vikarshana jato gradavanalas tadvanam alilehana sahatena dadahap. Translation. While he was wandering about, a wild forest fire began. This fire was caused by the friction of bamboos, which were being blown by the wind. In that fire, the entire forest near Kuta Kachala and the body of Lord Rishabhdev were burned to ashes. Purport. Such a forest fire can burn the external bodies of animals, but Lord Rishabhdev was not burned, although he apparently seemed so. Lord Rishabhdev is the supersoul of all living entities within the forest, and his soul is never burned by fire. As stated in Bhagavad Gita, Adayoyam, the soul is never burnt by fire. Due to Lord Rishabhdev's presence, all the animals in the forest were also liberated from material encagement. Lord Rishabhdev has retired from being emperor of the world, and in the last chapter he was instructing his sons, headed by Bharat Maharaj, and then he left. And it is said that he is a plenary expansion of the Supreme Personality of God. It means he has full potency. He is Vishnu. He is the Supreme Lord. And as Prabhupada says here, that his body wasn't burnt in the fire. It was all his creation. Even his going and wandering, seemingly like some sort of disheveled madman with, here it is said he kept the stones in his mouth and wandered naked. I think it previously was mentioned he would pass stool and urine and just roll in it. People would bother him, right? People would bother him, so to stop them bothering him, he would do things like that. It was said that he wanted to show the yogis how to be detached from the body and what to do, especially at the end of the life. Also, the kings in the past, they had to also leave the throne, leave the kingdom. at some point. So Lord Rishabh, by his perfect example, was showing how to do it. Now, of course, he adopted a very severe renunciation. Prabhupada never told us to do that. You know, now you have to go just with the going naked, wandering around. If you did that around here, they'd come and police would come and lock you up. Sometimes the devotees said that to me, Maharaj, why don't you know, in the shastras of the sannyasi should just go wandering naked and coping like that. And I said, Prabhupada instructed his modern day sannyasis a little differently. If I were just to go with a kamandalu and a coping around here, then I don't think I'd be able to preach very much. I'd be locked up somewhere, never to be released again. So that was those days, in the ancient Vedic times. Therefore, Bhaktivinoda Thakur has said that one should understand what to do because we understand what to do by the instructions of the Lord and the instructions of so many acharyas, but it's more important, Bhaktivinoda Thakur said, to accept the instructions of the present acharyas, because they are presenting Kalapatradesh. So what was stated, and you read in the Bhagavatam, and the commentaries are there, the ancient brahmacharis and the sannyasis. It's all right. So how they lived and what they wore and they're traveling around and so on. So that's not to be imitated. I think it was here, I remember reading in the conversations book something that Prabhupada was walking somewhere, I think in Beverly Hills or something. He was going on a japa walk. And some devotees were walking with no shoes. And Prabhupada stopped after some time. He said, I know you are all transcendental yogis, he said. But because we are preaching, therefore we have to wear shoes. Otherwise people will think badly about us. So there's one injunction for sannyasis. They're not supposed to wear any sewn cloth. Not supposed to cross over the water. So if we can't cross over the water, can't wear any sewn cloth, how are we going to preach? Prabhupada transgressed that injunction. But for what? For preaching. Sannyasis traditionally not supposed and just to walk barefoot. And that's why in India you have all the places where you wash your feet, you know, before you come into the temple, because they walk barefoot. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would walk barefoot. Walking everywhere, barefoot. I mean, we go on the Parakram and Nabadweep Mandal Parakram or Vrindavan Mandal Parakram, and if we walk barefoot for half a kilometre, we can't do it. So, but the ancient sadhus, well, some of them wouldn't wear the wooden shoes, but many would just go barefoot. So Prabhupada said that now it's different. Now we have to present Krishna consciousness. Now I've made so many temples. If I were to just do sit under a tree and preach, who would come and hear, he would say. So we've made many temples, and we have to dress appropriately. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati dressed very nicely. He used the car, I think one of the first sadhus to use a car. That was very radical back in the 20s. The cars just came out. And Srila Bhaktisiddhanta would come to Vrindavan in a car. Of course, the local babas would complain about that. Was he a sadhu who's coming here in a car? They would complain, but he didn't take any notice of that. So we have to understand things properly according to... Of course, we cannot manufacture, we can't speculate, but if we follow the acharyas, they don't change the basic principle of what is Krishna consciousness, but according to the time, the place, the circumstances, they can present it a little bit differently. But anyway, here we find that Lord Rishabhdev, he is wandering naked. And we find kings like Yudhisthira Maharaj, when it was time for him to retire, he left along with all the Pandavas. Dhritarashtra had already left. You know, he was staying there. Vidura had come and spoken some harsh words to him. You are staying here and just living here even after the battle of Kurukshetra, and all your sons have been killed and you're living by the mercy of Bhimsena. And he spoke some harsh words, especially mentioned Bhimsena. And he said that, look at you, you're an old man, your teeth are loose, your hair is grey, you're coughing up mucus all the time, your liver is defective, haven't got any memory anymore, and still you're living here. Talked very heavily to him. And that was like a real thunderbolt to Dhritarashtra, and Vidura advised him, you should leave home. So he left along with Gandhari, and also it is said Kunti also, when they went out into the forest. After that time, Yudhisthira, after some time, Parikit was grown up, he also left. And they went, followed by his brother Draupadi also went. They went into the Himalayas. It's mentioned that the kings in the Mahabharata, is mentioned that the kings of Hastinapur, especially when they would retire, they would go into the Himalayas generally, high into the mountains. And generally for Kshatriyas, they wouldn't accept sannyas as such. Sannyas was mainly for the Brahmanas. But they would accept like a severe detachment, and like a vanaprast, and very austere. So they went, Yudhisthira, and they went high in the Himalayas, gradually going higher and higher and higher. And there's that story in the Mahabharata, one by one they fell, was it? Draupadi fell first, and Bhimsen came to, when they were high in the Himalayas, Bhimsen asked Yudhisthira, why did Draupadi, she was more attached to Arjuna than the others. So she fell first. And it's actually mentioned there, I remember reading that, Yudhisthira Maharaj, when Bhimasena was asking him, he didn't even look back at Draupadi. Didn't even, kept walking. Didn't even bury her or anything like cremate. They didn't do anything. All of them were like that. Next to four was Sahadeva was next, and Bhimasena, why did he go to Sahadeva? Why has he fallen? And so he was too attached to his knowledge or something like that. And then Nakula, why did he fall? And he was too attached to his beauty. And Arjuna fell, why? Because he made a boast at the start of the Kurukshetra that he would kill all the Kauravas in one day, and he didn't do it. So he fell. And then Bhimsena himself fell, and as he was lying, he said, why did I fall, oh brother? He said, because you were very voracious in your eating and not caring for others. So you had to fall. Meanwhile, of course, along the way, a dog had joined them. You know that story. A dog had joined, was following them. And Yudhisthira came. And he got right high, high, high. Then he saw a chariot. There's a good description of the chariot of Indra coming out of the clouds like a meteor. There's a really good description. Bright like a sun, flying out of the, coming and came to get Yudhisthira. Now you can come to heaven. No, no, I won't go because this dog has taken shelter of me. So if the dog can come too, then I'll go. No, no, there's no dogs allowed in heaven. No, I can. Well, then I can't go. I'll only go if the dog can come with me. No, no, no dogs allowed. So finally that dog revealed himself to be Yamaraj, his father. So he was taken by Indra. But when he went there, of course, on the way he saw Karna, with his father, the sun god. And then he got to the heaven, he saw Duryodhana there. Of course, Yudhisthira said, what's Duryodhana doing in heaven? How is he here? And they all explained to him, well, he died on the battlefield, doing his duty as a Kshatriya. So any Kshatriya who dies like that, he goes to heaven. Not only that, he died in front of Krishna, so after this life, he'll go back home, back to God. So Yudhisthira was in a little disbelief. But because also he didn't see his brothers. Well, where are my brothers? Duryodhana's here, Karna's here, the others are here. Where are my brothers? Well, I will show you. So they took him and they were going in darker, darker areas, darker, darker. Foul smells were coming. People were crying out. And Yudhisthira, I've had enough. This is like a hell play. Why are you taking me here? Take me back. And just as they were going back, all these voices. Yudhisthira, don't leave us. We are here. Who is that? I am Nakula. I am Sahadeva. I am Bhimsen. Oh, what are my brothers doing here? Of course, then it was all revealed. It was just a type of a hallucination, a vision that he had to go through. And it is said he had to go through that because he didn't exactly follow the order of Krishna. There's different explanations given for that. But one is that he didn't follow the order of Krishna when he said that you have to say that Ashwatthama is dead to kill the Dronacharya. He didn't want to say it because that was telling an untruth. So he had to experience a vision of hell. Of course, then he went to the heavens again, he saw all his brothers there, like they were there. And he asked Narad Muni, he said, how long will we stay in heaven? He said, actually, Duryodhana is here. That I'm not, you know, I'm not very attached to staying in heaven. I just want to be with Krishna. And Narad Muni said, oh, you brothers will only stay here a very short time because you are the eternal associates of the Supreme Lord. Wherever he does his pastimes, you will join him. Anyway, there's a story off the side a little bit about the Pandavas. When they when they retired, they became totally detached just kept walking. Yudhishthira kept walking the whole time. He didn't look back at any of his brothers. Even when Bhimsen was asking, he didn't even look at him. This is the description in the Mahabharata. He just talked from going forward as he was walking forward. You fell because you were voracious and needy. He kept walking. So totally detached. So now here, Lord Rishabhdev is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He doesn't have to do any of these things. He doesn't have to do any being detached from the world. He's already detached from the world. He is the Supreme Lord. But as mentioned in an earlier verse, that to show the kings of the path, to show the yogis especially, how one should be detached, wandering. If one wants to be a yogi, you have to do like this. If you want to follow this type of procedure, this process, this is how detached you have. Very severe tapasyas. Just wandering. And just wandering seemingly aimlessly. We mentioned there that he went through one area and then he didn't plan to go through that area, but just was walking. So of course, some people are attracted to that type of thing and wandering aimlessly around, going here and there, wherever they please. But to live a whole life like that is not so, not many people can do it. And a yoga process means that you have to detach yourself from material entanglement and practice tapasya. You have to go to the Himalaya, you have to go deep in the forest. You can't be doing the yoga and living in the big cities and indulging in sense gratification. So many schools of yoga around in so many cities of the world. Come, practice yoga. I tell the story, I was in Rishikesh one time in India, and we saw this sign that said, instant enlightenment, this way. A big arrow. This way. So we followed it, we wanted to check it out. And we couldn't find it, actually. We couldn't find that place. But anyway, I thought, well, just, you know, you can't have instant enlightenment. But people talk like that. And they come and do yoga is very popular, which is the hatha yoga. Do the hatha. Do the meditation. Come and do meditation. And, we had a couple of fellows here yesterday after everything ended sitting here. but who can do that? I mean, because if you want to do the path of meditation, then you have to do it properly. Otherwise, you don't achieve the purpose of the meditation or the yoga system. You have to do all these things as done by the great yogis, as done by Lord Rishabhdev. But who can do it in the Kali Yuga? I mean, I remember going to, one time I was in South India. Down at Trivandrum, and we were there at the temple, and then we went down to Kanyakumari. Some of you may have been to Kanyakumari, right on the tip. And there's a temple of Durga Devi. When Kanya is a small girl there. There's a whole story about that. But anyway, then there's a kind of you take a ferry across to a couple of rocks out there. It's got this big statue of one of the Alvas of South India, right? And then it's got a big place of who's that there? Paramananda. After Paramananda Yogananda. What's his name? Vivekananda. Yeah. It's got a little. They've got a little place out there, Vivekananda, and he went there apparently, and he did some meditation there. Anyway, they got this room. You go and it's called the meditation room. It's on the rock. And there's a room there. It's got a Vivekananda museum and they've got a room there. And you go inside and it's kind of all black. Not like here. It's all black in there. And you've got a stage. It's all black. And it's got this big om with a big spotlight on the om. And then it's got seats. And you sit in the seats and you're supposed to come in and you're supposed to meditate on the om. You see. So we went in there. There's a few people in there. Some people were coming in and out. So we went in there. Oh, let's come in here and have a look. We went in there. We started chanting japa in here. But what struck me was that the people who were doing the meditation in that blackened room with just a spotlight on the om, after a few minutes, they got up and left. And they came in after us. They got up and left. A couple other people came in. There was thousands of people coming across, walking around. But there was only a few people in there. And they came in. And met, you know, a few others came in, had a look, walked out. Others came in, sat for a few minutes. I mean, we were chanting our japa there for 15, 20 minutes just finishing off a few rounds. So I was thinking, we're better yogis than these guys here, you know. We're just chanting a few rounds and we had left over. So I was thinking, who can do this type of thing? Even in India. Even in the Rishikesh, even in these places. Even I remember going to, where was I? Badrit and Badrinath. I've been up to Badrinath a few times. And I saw some, when you go to there, I was talking to the head priest of the temple. And there's a whole bunch of caves, you see, all these holes in the mountain, and there's all these caves. I said, oh, I was talking to him, I said, oh, there's caves, like yogis live in there, huh? He said, oh, yeah, some people live in there, he said. I said, what, the yogis? He said, some people live in there. I said, what, do you ever see them? Yeah, oh, yeah, we see them all the time. I said, where are they? He said, there's one right there. Where? In the tea stand, drinking chai. And there's his friend drinking chai with him. I said, what, these guys live in the caves? I said, do they live up there? I said, where's the... Oh, he said, they're yogis, you never see them. The actual yogis. He said, you never see them. And he told me a story. He told me a story that when it snows out, they go down a few towns down. And they... because you just can't stay up there, it just snows out. So they go down... And they leave the paraphernalia for worshipping the deity out. And when they come back, they see the paraphernalia has been used. So they surmise that the devotees and the yogis who are actually living high in the Himalayas that you never see, they come down and worship the Lord while everyone's there. So we have to follow the process of the yoga that is given to us by the present acharyas. We can read about these other things. Therefore, you know, you have to read the Bhagavatam or even the Gita or any other Shastra. And all sorts of things are described. But you have to understand in proper context and especially how to understand it today by hearing from the modern acharyas. And again, going back to the point I made, this is what Bhaktivinoda Thakur says. The most important to understand the instructions and the order of the Supreme Lord through the present acharyas. And they will explain it to you very nicely in context. So anyway, Lord Rishabh, this was a long time ago. His body, of course, going back to this text here, his body was never burnt. He has a spiritual body. It appeared so. And he was just showing an example. Being a guru. Today, Svavas said that today is the Guru Purnima. This Guru Purnima, I know, is observed very elaborately by a lot of the yoga schools. They have the Guru Purnima. Today's a big day for them. I think it must be full moon, Guru Purnima. It's the Purnima, it's the full moon. I know a lot of the schools have big celebrations today. And they celebrate the guru, but it's kind of an abstract kind of thing. Just the guru, whoever he is, the guru. We're a bit more specific. We worship a particular guru. But they're worshipping the guru. And, of course, it goes back to the appearance of worshipping Vyasadeva. Vyasadeva, Krishna Dvaipayana Vyasa is the present Vyasadeva. Now, it's mentioned in the Bhagavatam that there are many Vyasadevas. Every Manu there is a Vyasadeva. Starting the first Vyasadeva, as mentioned in the Bhagavatam, it was Lord Brahma. He came and he took the post of Vyasadeva and taught the Veda and divided the Veda, did all that. And then later on you'll read that others became, you know, Brihaspati became the Vyasadeva. And even Indra became Vyasadeva. And so many, even Sukracharya became Vyasadeva. Bhrigu became Vyasadeva. So every day, every Manu, there is a Vyasadeva. And now we have Krishna Dvaipayana Vyasa, who's actually an expansion of the Supreme Personality of God. The others were Jivatmas. This one is an expansion of Krishna, Krishna Dvaipayana Vyasa. There's an interesting story of Vyasadeva, how he appeared. Does anyone remember that story? How Vyasadeva appeared? Parasara Muni. Yes, there was a story, ancient story, before Parasara Muni came. You know, Satyavati was born to the, well, she grew up as the daughter of the fisherman, but actually she was not really the daughter of a fisherman. There's a story that goes back that one king was living, King Vasu. He saw some fish engaged in love play, and he passed semen. So he thought to preserve that semen and take it to his queen, but along the way he dropped it in a river. And it was eaten by a fish. Now that fish is a story of the fish also. That fish wasn't an ordinary fish. That fish was an apsara who was cursed to be a fish. Anyway, all these interwoven stories. Anyway, so she was cursed. She was happened to be in the river and she ate this semen. Later on she was caught by the fisherman. I forget his name, but anyway. And she was pregnant with that semen. And the body of the fish was cut open, and there were two children, one male, one female. The male was given to the king of the land there. And this is actually in the Jamuna, the Kalindi. This happened in the Jamuna River. And the female was brought up by the fisherman, and later on she was known as Satyavati. As a fisherman, he also rowed people across the river. So one time Parasara Muni came, he wanted to go across the river. The fisherman was having his meals, lunchtime meals, so he asked his daughter to take him across the river. She took him across, and he became very enamored with her and wanted to have union with her. She said, no, I'm still a virgin, I can't. He said, don't worry, your virginity will remain intact. He created a fog, created an island, and he said that a great personality will be born to you. His name was Krishna because he appeared dark, and because he appeared on the island, his name was Dvaipayana. So he had the name Krishna Dvaipayana. And he grew, as soon as he appeared, he grew up immediately. And he told his mother, I'm leaving now to practice austerities and do study, and so don't worry about me, but if ever you need me, just think of me and I will be there. Especially if you are in any difficulty, just think of me and I will come. So that's why you read in the Mahabharata and all these story of when she was thinking how to who was it that Vichitravirya was it who couldn't have the children, or what happened, how he died or something like that. So the queens were there. And she called him Vyasadeva, and he came and gave the queens children. So Vyasadeva, very famous. So later on, of course, he was at that time, of course, when he came in and did that, he was living in the Himalaya. He had an ashram. He had many disciples. And he was teaching the Veda and so on. He had many disciples, Vaishampayana and Jaimini. You read about them in the Bhagavatam. And he gave the divided Vedas to each one of them for dissemination. Later on, he wanted to write the story of Mahabharata, of the Pandavas and the whole. And he went to Lord Brahma. I need someone who can write. Oh, Ganesh will be the one for you. And he asked Ganesh. Ganesh said yes, but on the condition that you never stop speaking. If you stop speaking, then I will stop writing. And then, of course, Vyasadeva made the condition, yes, all right, but you have to understand everything I'm speaking. So they both agreed to those conditions. So today is that day of Vyasadeva, Guru Purnima. Also mentioned disappearance of Sanatana Goswami, very important acharya in our Gaudiya Vaishnava Sampradaya. Sanatana Goswami, Rupa Goswami, the principal Goswamis of Vrindavan. They formerly, there were three brothers, Anupam, Rupa and Sanatan. They were born a high-class Saraswat Brahmin family. But they were called for the service of Hussein Shah, Muslim ruler. And I think what their names were became, they changed their name because they were, when you accept W. Carson, Saki Malik or something like that. So they were considered, because you were in the service of a Muslim, then you practically were considered Muslim. Although, now in their youth, of course, before that time, they were trained up by great teachers in different areas, rhetoric and Shastra and all this type of, they had their education, very formal education. But later on, of course, they were in the employ of the Hussein Shah. Lord Chaitanya at that time had advented. They heard about him. They were very attracted to him. Right from the beginning of their lives, they were great devotees of Krishna. They heard about Lord Chaitanya. They were wishing and desiring that they could meet with Lord Chaitanya. They couldn't do that. He was nearby. I mean, they were in Ramakeli, and you know, which at that time was the capital of Gaudadesh. And he was in Navadvip. Then he took sannyas and went to Mayapur, and they were very devastated that he'd gone all the way, went to Jagannath Puri, that he'd gone even further away. But then later he came there to Ramakeli and met with Sanatan, met with Rupa, met with Anupam. And he told them they should leave, and he told Rupa and Sanatan to go to Vrindavan. It was Rupa who got away, and Anupam got away. Sanatan couldn't get away. Later on, Rupa had wrote to him and said, I have many gold coins there. You bribe your way out. Actually, Sanatan was locked up. I won't go into the whole story, but he was locked up because he wasn't attending to his duties on the plea of being sick. So the king had sent a doctor there, and the doctor said, he's not sick. He's just studying at home with the Vaishnavas. So he became, the king became very angry and demanded that he stop and take up his duties, but especially he wanted him to accompany, he wanted to go and defeat another kingdom. He said, I cannot accompany you. So he locked him up. So he was able to use those gold coins to bribe his way out. He finally came there. And he met Lord Chaitanya in Varanasi, took instruction from him, went to Vrindavan. Of course, Lord Chaitanya's instructions to all the Goswamis was to write the devotional shastras, excavate the lost places of Krishna's pastimes, be examples yourselves, and so on. So they did that. There's many stories of Sanatan Goswami in Vrindavan, living in different places, living very austerely. We know in Krishna Leela he's Rati Manjari, a very close associate of Srimati Radharani. So, you know, and also in how he established a Madan Mohan temple there. You can still go in Vrindavan. There's a story about that. Many stories of Sanatana Goswami. I remember one story where he was writing, but there was a lot of mosquitoes. And he decided, I can't stay here. I can't sleep. I can't write. I can't think of Krishna. These mosquitoes are too much. I'm leaving. Then finally, Lord Shiva came to him and said, don't worry. Please stay here and do your service. You won't be bothered by mosquitoes anymore. So Lord Shiva, who's the protector of the Dharma and protector of the devotees, arranged that there would be no more mosquitoes for Sanatana Goswami, and he continued on. So there's a story of how he went one day that he saw some Gopa boys playing, and then one of them ran over
said that, Babu, I want to live with you, I like you, I've been observing you, I want to stay with you and be with you. No, no, you have to go home, you're just a small boy. No, no, I want to be with you. No, no, I only live very simply, I only eat like whatever I can beg, and sometimes it's like practically nothing. It'll be too difficult for you. You should go home to your mother and father. No, no, I want to be, no, go home to your mother and father. So the boy disappeared. Later on, of course, when Sanatan was sleeping, he had a dream. That boy opened the door and showed himself to be the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And and then later on, he visited in Mathura. There was one Brahmin living there, and he obtained one deity, Manmohan deity. And he brought that deity. Initially, I think he had the deity in a tree or something like that. Story. Because he was just living from different places. And he had the deity in a tree. And he was just begging food and collecting things and offering whatever he could. And one time he only had chapatis. That's all he could offer. And the deity spoke to him and complained. You are giving these chapatis, but they're very dry. Not even any salt in them. And then it was Sanatana Goswami, oh, now you want salt. So tomorrow it'll be ghee that you want. I can't. So the deity didn't say anything more. But later on, of course, we know that, who was that, Krishna Das Chobe or something? Who came there, he had a boat, that trader came there, and his boat got stuck on a sandbank in the Jamuna. He came to see Sanatana Goswami, who was living in the hill area there, and asked for the blessings of Sanatana Goswami and his deity. Only by their grace can... And then that afternoon a big heavy rainstorm came and the river went up. He actually promised him, if I am able to get out of here by your mercy and all the profits I get from my goods, I'll give to you to use in the Lord's service. So he was able to go off and made a very good profit, and that's, he gave the money, and that's when Sanatana Goswami built that big temple. Of course, later on the deity was moved. There's a whole story about that, to Jaipur first. But one of the daughters of the king of Jaipur married a son of the king of, what is that place? Karoli, isn't it? Yeah, Karoli. And she was very attached to Manmohan. And she said he has to come here. And there's a whole story about that. And finally, that's how Manmohan is now. If you go to Karoli, you can visit him there. So today is also the disappearance of Sanatana Goswami. Sanatana Goswami ki jai. And Guru Purnim, Vyasadeva Guru Purnim, Vyasadeva ki jai. Gaur Premanandi. I've gone a little over time, if you don't mind. So I don't think there's any time for questions. We have to finish. Is there any question? No? Oh. Jai, all glories to Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Gaur Premanandi.